Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we begin in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." And this is the text, and the title for the sermon is Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of Sabaoth Adored. What's this word Sabaoth? Without blurting it out, who knows the meaning of Sabaoth? We got one. And I remember way back when I was growing up in church, and the pastor explained this to us. He said, this is not Sabbath. It's not the day of rest. It's completely different word, Lord of Sabaoth. It actually means Lord of Hosts. And that didn't help. So he had to go another step. What hosts are those? The angel hosts. What does hosts mean then? And he took the third step and said, angel armies. Ah, so Lord of angel armies. That's a powerful image, isn't it? Yeah. So, then, well, a little bit of review on angels. From the confirmation book, angels are non-physical beings. They're spirits. And there's a huge number of them. Revelation, John sees myriads of myriads, which is 10,000s of 10,000 groupings. And at that point, he loses count. So, you know, don't do the multiplication and say, well, there are 100 million angels, period. He's lost count. There may be many more. We don't know. And the angels are powerful and glorious. And then they're divided into basically two groups because there was a division among the angels. And the division had something to do with a sin. And the sin was the sin of pride. And that sin seems to carry on throughout our existence. What is pride? In this context, pride is to be all fascinated with your own glory. And secondly, to believe that you are entitled to that glory and more glory besides. And third, it is to resent when somebody else has glory or blessings or when they don't give you more of that glory. And that's the devil. And meanwhile, as the devil is heading that way, the good angels, the ones that held their place, they held their place because they learned from and followed God. And what they learned from God is the joy of seeing others blessed. Comes to a head when God creates Adam and Eve. Adam from the dust of the ground, Adama, and his name means mud. And God has decided that this creature made of the dust of the clay of the mud of the earth is going to be glorious. Because that was the plan from before the beginning of time. That when Adam and Eve fell into sin, that God would send his own son to be one of these mud creatures and take our mud and our clay and bear it in his own body to the cross and die and rise and make us glorious. And that appears to have been just too much for the devil, who did not want to go along with serve those creatures. Why, he had his own glory. Why would he bow and serve them? And he was entitled to that glory and more besides. Why shouldn't he be God himself instead of God? And he resented the glory that was to be given to Adam and Eve and the love of God to them and the blessings of God to them. And began to put in place this plan to take those mud creatures down. And so he came and he dangled in front of them the forbidden fruit because pride. Because aren't you pleased being glorious? Don't you want more glory? You're entitled to it, aren't you? Take this fruit. And God, who's holding it back from you, why should he hold that back from you? And he trips them up with the same sin that he has. So here's another term, besetting sin. A besetting sin, as I grew up slowly understanding the term, was a sin that seems to run through all kinds of things in your life, and you try and get yourself away from it, and there it is again. And you run another way to get away from it, and there it is also. So the besetting sin of the devil and the besetting sin of the human race is pride. Even the disciples, even the 72 that were sent out to preach in the name of Jesus, they come back to Jesus and say, Lord, even the spirits are subject to us in your name. And he has to give them the correction. Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See the pride there. But back to the good angels. What do they do? What are they like? What is their job? Well, there are some things we know about them. They sing God's praises. They sang his praises as God created the world. And Job 37, I believe it is, talks about when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's at the beginning of the world in the creation. And they're celebrating this creation and celebrate especially as God creates the human race. And angels were involved in celebrating Jesus' birth. Oh, there's a story. So the time goes on and the time goes on and it is time for God to send his son into the world, and the angels are amazed at that God is going to do. He's actually going to go down and be one of them? Yeah. What amazing love, what amazing mercy, what amazing grace. And there's a Christmas song that talks about the angels and says, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Yeah, that's what they would have wanted to do. Tell the whole world right now the Savior has come. The whole world. But God restrains them. Because the purpose is not for the whole world to hear right then that day about Jesus coming into the world. He came into the world for a purpose, and that was to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So instead of winging their flight o'er all the earth, they get sent outside of Bethlehem to a little area out in the pasture where there's some shepherds who might know something or other about sheep and lambs to go tell the shepherds about the Lamb of God, about the Lamb of God who had come to this world to be the sacrifice. And they sing, glory to God in the highest, because now the glory of God is there in the stable, in the manger. And what kind of glory is this? The angels are got. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men, because here he comes bringing peace, because it's the peace through his cross. It is the peace of forgiveness. It is the peace of salvation, the peace of eternal life, the peace that comes with all of the blessings of God that are coming to us in this Lamb of God. And the story continues, and angels minister Jesus after he is done with the 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, and angels minister to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed and where he was arrested. And they announce the resurrection of Jesus to the women. And this all fits a pattern. Because you say, what did the angels learn and where did they learn it? They learned to love. They learned to raise up others. They learned God's ways. That's who they learned it from. God who, with all of the glory of all eternity, chooses not to hoard that glory, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Why? So that we could share his glory. And the angels learned that. But pausing once again and thinking, what did the story of salvation look like to the angels? And as they see it unfolding, they see the character of God, the character of the one who would create us. And when he knew that Adam and Eve would fall into sin and all of us would be lost, his character is that he chose to send Jesus into this world. The second person of the Trinity chose to set aside his glory so that you could have glory. Chose to set aside his eternity so that you could have eternity. Chose to set aside his heaven so that you could share his heaven. And the angels see the unfolding and the revealing of the character of God. What kind of wonder would they have had as they had to look on Good Friday and see this Son of God who has taken our human frame, dust of the earth, go that one step further and take on our sin and our death, bearing the sin, bearing the penalty, bearing the pains of death. What amazement must they have had at the love of God as it is fully revealed there at Calvary. How do the angels respond to all of that? But first, how would the angels respond to us if we became preoccupied with angels? You know, there are books out there, talk to your guardian angel, and it's almost like praying and all of that. How would they respond to that? Well, we know this because in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John at two points felt that urge and tried to bow down to an angel. And the angel says, "Don't do it! I am also a servant of the Almighty God. Don't do it! Worship God." What would the angels think about us becoming preoccupied with ourselves and our own glory and our ability and our own stuff that we most marvelously do? Well, we've got that answer from Jesus in the gospel. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but rejoice that your names are written in the kingdom of heaven. And the angels then learn this from God, and they carry it out. And the lesson, the same lesson is there scattered all through the Gospels. So here's one place. Luke chapter 15. Jesus says, after telling a parable, "Therefore I tell you, there's more joy in the kingdom of heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There's more joy among the angels over one sinner who repents." Who are those 99 righteous persons? It doesn't say men or human beings, by the way. For the angels, that might mean an indication. Yeah, don't rejoice over yourselves. Rejoice over one human being coming to faith. And the lesson drifts over to us as Jesus finishes telling the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And then he says, a certain man had two sons. You know where this is going, don't you? Parable of the lost son. That finishes with the father saying to the other son, "But we had to celebrate because this brother of yours was lost and is found. He was dead and he is alive." And the lesson for us is, you see somebody coming to faith, don't go saying to yourself, "Ah, but we have 99 others in church." Rejoice more over that one who has come to faith. Because here's a soul coming into life. And it seems to be right at the center of the work of the angels to celebrate in the forgiveness of sin, the life, the salvation, the eternity that we receive. And that's what they do. Oh, and by the way, with the number of Christians coming, the number of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ in other parts of the world, they're pretty busy right now. Thousands and thousands every day coming to faith in Jesus. Africa, Asia, other parts of the world. And those coming to faith in Jesus in the Mideast. There's the celebration. And when they sing, "Holy, holy, holy," they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy to God, who is holy and who makes others holy by what he does." And what an amazing thing to celebrate. So you find out as you go on in the Bible, you get to the book of Revelation. You find there in the book of Revelation, there is angels joining with the church. But before we get to that, one point I really want to bring in. So when Jesus says, "Do not rejoice in this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven," how about "Do not be bothered by this," about other things in this life? "Do not be bothered by this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." "Do not be distracted by this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And it again and again brings our focus back to what really matters. Okay, on to the end. The angels rejoice at the defeat of the devil because the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. They call us brothers. And the angels rejoice. And they say, in their praise to Jesus, "For you were slain, and with your blood you ransomed people for God, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign." The angels join in that hymn because they celebrate what is to come for you and me. And that's sweet. In Jesus' name, amen.